Blog Talk Radio.
Have tuned in to Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. I am so excited that you have joined me on today, and truly today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice in the Lord and be glad therein. I don't care what you're going through today, child of God. It could be off the hook, crazy right about now, all hell breaking loose. I just come to tell you and to encourage you on today that God have a blessing for you on today. We're going to be talking about another glorious word from the Lord on today. We've been talking about the glory of the Lord and Jesus revealing the fulfillment of the glory of God. And on today, we're going to be talking about from glory to glory. I don't know about you, but God is just taking us from glory to glory. Yes, I know it seems as though many things are coming up against your own very soul, but I'm come to tell you that in spite of what you see, in spite of what's going on in and through your life right now, God is working a miracle in and through your life. So grab your Bible, come on, and let's just have an hour of power as we're talking about the Word of God. And that's what's going to sustain and keep the people of God is the Word of the Lord. Amen. Today we're talking about, as we said, our topic is going to be from glory to glory. We must recognize that miraculous changes in our life take place when God, by His Spirit, the Holy Ghost, transform us from glory to glory. You are in a transition right now, and God is transforming you from glory to glory. Let's take a look over here. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, verses 7 through 18. It says, but when the administration of death, written and engraved in stone, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall the ministration of the Spirit rather be glorious? For in the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious have no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that it selleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their hands, their mind were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil taken away in this reading of the Old Testament, which the veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall be turned to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now let's look at one more scripture here. Let's look at the 18th verse again, because this is where we're going to be centering around our talk on today. It said, but we all, with open face, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed in the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now let's take a look here. at the word of the Lord today. This is the second letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians at Corinth. In it, he explained his travel plans and how important the believers at Corinth were to him. He sent forth his remarkable ways, the glory of the Christian ministry. The epistle disclosed Paul's heart and his conduct under physical weaknesses and persecution from the Jewish legalizers and Judaizers. This epistle was not so much a doctrinal statement as it was a personal appeal to his intended audience. Paul also spent some time discussing issues with which he and the Corinthians were struggling at the time. This letter was written from Macedonia, probably around from Philippi, in the fall of A.D. 54 or 55, not too long after the writing of 1 Corinthians. It was delivered to the Corinth directly by Titus and other loyal men. The Apostle Paul wanted the Corinthians to know that Christianity was built on the foundation of Judaism, but was vastly superior to it. The splendor of Old Testament worship, the beauty of the holy of the temples, and the symbolic colors and clothing and the ritual associated with the Jewish worship was only stepping stone to splendor that Christ Jesus provided for the church. Now let's look here. The unfolding glory, you'll find that over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse number 11. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that when it is glorious. The tabernacle in the wilderness housed a tent. Eventually he had been replaced by Solomon's edifice, the temple. The scripture described each of these places of meeting as possessing a certain glory when the presence of God was present. When we look over at Exodus chapter number 40, verses 3 through 5, the word states, "Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, and Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation, because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." Now, let's take another incident or time in which the glory of the Lord filled the temple, and that's over in 1 Kings chapter 7, verse 51, 1 Kings 8, verses 10 to 11. "So was ended all the works that King Solomon made for the house of the Lord. And Solomon brought in the hot things which David, his father, had dedicated, even the silver, the gold, the vessels, did he put among the treasures of the house of the Lord. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister, because the cloud for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord." Whatever glory there was in either of these two places of meeting with God has passed away. The tabernacle was gone, and so was Solomon's temple. But built into the Jewish people's collective history was the memory that the glory of the Lord has filled both of these places. And I don't know about you, but we have been experiencing the glory cloud there with us there at Shekinah Glory, and how God has just been hovering and ministering and meeting us there, so much so that the services have just been consumed with the presence of the Lord, just taking charge and moving by his power divine. And that's what we're looking at, just for the glory of the Lord to be resting and ruling upon our place. We are to glorify God by responding to the Lord Jesus Christ through exalting him as Creator, Savior, and Lord, amplifying him and the values of his kingdom, edifying his church, evangelizing this world, encompassing the past, enriching the culture. We must continue to exalt him. We must continue to raise him up in the midst of our congregation, in the midst of the hell that the adversary is fighting, even against the church. We must continue to edify and lift God up as never before. Now, let's look here. Let's look at the glory of the law. 2 Corinthians 3 and 7. It said, but in the ministration of death, written and engraved in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which the glory was to be done away. Now, let's take a look at that. It's that God chose Moses to deliver his people when they were safely away from the slime pit of Egypt. The Lord revealed the law and himself to his chosen servant. The experience of receiving the law from God was so powerful that Moses' face actually shined with the glory of God was being upon his countenance. So let's take a look here at Exodus, where we find this. Exodus chapter number 34, verses 29 to verse number 35. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses was not, the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him. And Moses talked with them. And afterward, all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandments all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. Till Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. And we find that over in Exodus chapter number 34, verse number 29 through verse 35. As awesome and wonderful as this experience was, it's pale when compared to the glory of the new birth in the New Testament. The Mosaic Law was a glorious thing. Through it, God created the ritual of blood atonement for sin. Many an animal were consumed to erect the wicked deeds of the ancient Jews, but God had something better in mind, the supreme sacrifice of his son on the cross. There the Lamb of God will take away the sin of the world. Until the day of Christ's death, however, the world depended on the Old Testament law for the guidelines of proper worship and lifestyle. After the cross, however, there came a tremendous liberation, a glorious liberation. God provided a way for mankind to move from glory of the law to the glory of personal salvation. The salvation assured each believer of a greater future glory in heaven forever with the Lord. Now, let's look here at another point. The glory, the greater glory of the ministry of the Spirit. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit rather be glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. You'll find that over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, verses 8 through 9. The Holy Ghost baptism is truly wonderful and glorious experience. Through receiving the Holy Ghost, mankind can be endued with power from on high. The presence of the Holy Ghost in a person's life provides the means to live above sin. Moreover, the Holy Spirit is the means for God to enter into a person. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27. Further, it is the means by which God prepares a person for the eternal life to come. Let's take a look here. The lasting glory of the ministry of the Spirit. We'll find that over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, verses number 10. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. There is no end of glory of the ministry of the Holy Ghost. From Pentecost to the present day, God's holy presence in our lives creates a supernatural manifestation that transcends human ability to fully comprehend. God has manifested his glory in many ways throughout history. Moses' face glowed with the glory of God. Jesus shined like the sun when he was transfigured. The disciple on the day of Pentecost spoke in tongues, and tongues of fire came upon them. The glory of God was also present in illuminating way when the Holy Spirit came upon a group there, a Bible student in January in 1901. Charles F. Farham stated that he saw a halo, and the tongues of fire came upon those present during the birth of the 20th century Pentecost at the Topeka, Kansas. Brother Farham described the Holy Ghost baptism of Agnes in Osman. I have sacredly repeated 3,000 sentences when the glory fell upon her. A halo seemed to surround her head and face, and she began speaking in the Chinese language and was unable to speak English for 3 days. Later that month, tongues of fire were seen on people as they were baptized in the Holy Spirit in the New Testament manner and to its standards. The Pentecostal experience is life-changing and enduring. It is an enduring as Jesus Christ himself. As written, the book of Hebrews declares, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. And so the Pentecostal experience is still yet endures today. Let's look here about that and examine the transforming power. The ministry of hope bridges and brings boldness. 2 Corinthians 3:12. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. Paul was excited about the revelation of the glories and the mysteries of the mighty God in Christ. He revealed in the knowledge that God's power was not only for this earthly life, but for the promised life to come. He has shared his insight about the resurrection to the Corinthians in the 15th chapter of his first letter to them. It was due to his great hope in the resurrection of the dead that he boldly declared its reality in words that everyone could understand. Since there is room for a great misunderstanding when discussing spiritual concepts, Paul was careful to express the truth of God's transforming power in clear and straightforward terms. Now, let's take a look here. The ministry is not veiled and fading. It is not veiled and fading like it was for Moses. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelite from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. And you'll find that over in 2 Corinthians 3:12. And that comes from the New International Version. Moses did not want the Israelites to gawk at him, for they would be disappointed to watch the fading glory of God. So he healed the glowing face from them until the glory of the Lord had gradually faded away. The glory of the Holy Ghost, power that God has given to us, does not fade, and there is no reason to hide it. Further, Jesus said that we are to let our light shine for his cause. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5, verses 14 through verse 16. Now let's take a look at this. Here, the word of the Lord. Over here in the ministry removes the veils from the mind. 1 Corinthians verses chapter number 3 and verse 14 and 16, according to the New International Version, it states, but their mind was made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day when Moses is read, a veil covers their heart. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. The law Moses made for pretty dull reading. It was legalistic, and there was not much room for individual expression. The law carefully described sacrifices for certain sin. It further designated that offerings were to be of a certain type, and that they were to carefully observe the ritual of the temple worship. Some Christian groups are a lot like the Old Testament. The sacrifice of Jesus in the Mass, done repeatedly again and again, the priests and ministers that observed Mass wore robes instead of normal clothing. The order of the service is printed, and they permit no deviation. Prayers are repetition and memorized through the use of different things. And consequently, God remained hidden to those in churches. He is not able to come into the heart of the people who comes to the service. The religious ceremonies keep him hidden away in the various rituals. He is on the cross or behind the altar, and he does not come to where the people are. This is so contrary to the genuine Christian worship. The ministry of the Holy Ghost is in the believer's life and removes the veil of separation between God and man. Those who are spirit-filled are not blind to the glories of God. They see them. They exalt him in worship as they partake of his glory. Now, let's look here. The ministry brings liberty. Now, the Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. 2 Corinthians 3 and 17. We must recognize that when we are the sons of God, according to John, what he wrote over there in the book of 1 John 3, 1 through 12, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when we shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Part of the glory of our salvation is understanding the wonderful liberty we have as children of God. Augustine once explained how free Christians are by saying that they have no rule other than to love God with all our heart, and then they are free to do as we please. Obviously, one who loves God with all their heart would not live a squanderless, sinful life of self-indulgence and self-pleasure seeking, but they would live to please and bring glory and honor to God in our body, in our mind, in our spirit. So not using this liberty for our own flesh, but are using this liberty to bring glory and honor unto God who is our King, who is the Lord of Lords and the Alpha and the Omega, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And that liberty to worship Him, that liberty to live a holy and a righteous life before the Lord God is so pertinent and important for us as children of God. Even as we worship Him in the spirit of truth. The Bible said that he that worship Him will worship Him in the spirit of truth. And things. And as we worship God in that spirit of truth and things, we are able to lift up holy hands and give God the praise and glory that's due unto His holy name and things. And so that's what God wants us to do, is to praise Him for who He is and bring forth the praises and glory unto His holy name. Now, this same power, it not only liberates us to be able to come into His house and show forth the praises unto His name, but it also affords us the opportunity to live above sin and reproach as we live holy and righteous before the Lord our God. Now, let's look here. The scripture over here again in 2 Corinthians 3:18 states, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord." 2 Corinthians 3:18. Now, Apostle Paul never forgot how dramatically the Lord had transformed his life. And so it is as we as children of God, we will never, ever forget how dramatically God transformed our life. We can remember it from the day. We can remember who God sent across our path. And we can remember the day that we gave our life to the Lord, the day that we were baptized, the day that we received the glorious infilling of the Holy Ghost. Those things we would never, ever forget because it's indelibly written down in our spirit, heart, and mind. And so it was with Paul. He never did forget. Although he respectfully respectful background, a religious pedigree, he did not consider himself a righteous man prior to his conversion. Paul had violently attacked the early church members and leader. He was glad to see Stephen, the first Christian martyr, stoned to death. He zealously persecuted not only men, but also he caused women and children to be thrown into dungeons because they believed in Jesus Christ. And we can see over here in Acts 7:9, you can read about it, about what Paul had did. Now, let's take here and look at Paul over in Philippians 3:5-9. The scripture clearly depicts and says, "Circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." And so here Paul began to explain and expound in the book of Philippians about his pedigree. He talked about the fact that he was circumcised of the stock of Israel, and he came out of the tribe of Benjamin, and then went on to talk about that he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews and touching the law. And so here Paul began to talk about it, but he went on to say that, you know, he count all these things lost and count them but done, that he may win Christ and be found in Christ. And so Paul wanted to be found in Christ, and he wanted to win Christ. And so what we have to do, are we're trying to, and ask ourselves the question, Am I trying to win the approval of everybody else? Am I trying to win favor with everyone else? Or am I trying to win Christ and the approval of Christ? And so when we begin to really look at the motive in our own hearts and the motive within our own mind and begin to really recognize and say, you know, where am I at? In my spiritual walk with Christ? Am I trying to please God or am I trying to please men? Where am I? And when we begin to put things in the right perspective, child of God, and begin to, even as Paul said, he tried to win Christ. He said, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness. Now, let's take a look here. Paul wanted to win Christ. Not only did he want to win Christ, but Paul wanted to be found in Christ. Now, I think that those two prongs there are very key in our walk with God. God wants us to seek to win Christ, seeking after Christ, following hard after him. That's what David said, I follow hard after you. And David meditated upon the word night and day. And so God is calling us to be found of him, be found in him, be found in Christ. And so we as children of God, we should be striving to get in the word of God, to be found in God, to be giving our life over to prayer, praying and seeking the heart and mind of God. And that's how we're going from glory to glory, because we are finding ourselves immersed in Christ. Like Paul said, I want to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness of God by faith. And so Paul was wanting to find that place of righteousness of God by faith. And so these are the things that we should set as our priority, be found in Christ, seeking the righteousness of God by faith, walking holy and circumspectly before the Lord our God, and things, just making sure that you have everything in order. You walking out and living in the principle of God. Many times we put our focus too much on the arms of flesh, and we should put our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and himself, because he alone have all power in his hand, and God wants us to put our confidence in him. Now, God does not like to be assumed or taken for granted. After all the glory he has provided for us, we should adore it. We should worship and love and serve him and never take him for granted. Those who live, whose lives are transformed, will not have any trouble doing this. And so we as children of God, we should not take for granted or assume assume God is pleased with what we're doing, but we should constantly go back to God. in the Holy Ghost. I declare that release right now in your life, child of God, that you may be able and begin to ask of God those things that you have need of, because the adversary don't want you to ask and things. And little did our parents know that that would shut us down for asking for help, for seeking, for stepping outside our place of our comfort and moving into the realm of faith. And so today I decree in your life of the redeeming power of the Lord Jesus Christ to redeem your ability to ask as never before, to knock as never before, to go into the high places and to go into God's storehouse and to release forth your blessings that belong unto you. I'm talking about going from glory to glory, from faith to faith, trusting God, asking of God, pulling on the power of God, invoking the name of the Lord that is a strong tower and the righteous can run in it and be saved. I'm talking about that dunamis power, that wonderful working power. The Bible said, according to your faith, so be it unto you. And then God said he's going to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in you. There is a power that wants to flow out of you. There is miracles that want to flow out of your tongue, because you got to release God and allow God to work on your behalf and say, the blessings of the Lord is coming to me right now. The promises of Abraham is coming to me right now. Every one of the promises of God, they belong unto me, and I receive it. My household receive it. My children and children, it belongs to them. And you start declaring and you start believing that God is and God will bring it to pass in and through your life, child of God, because that's the type of God that we serve. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we asked or even think, according to that power. Yeah, that power right there that have been laying dormant in your mouth. All you need to do is start opening your mouth and believing God, that God is going to do it in and through your life on today, child of God. It, the Bible said, is nigh thee, even in your mouth. All you need to do is start believing it and confessing that God is my provider. God is my shepherd. I shall not want for no good thing. Goodness and mercy is following me all the days of my life. The cattle on a thousand hills belong unto God. God was going to give me power to attain wealth. You start confessing what the word said and watch God start bringing the word to pass on behalf of you and your life. Watch God open up the window of heaven and pour you out blessings that you will not have room enough to receive, child of God, because you dare to trust God. You dare to believe him to work exceedingly in your life, child of God. And think there is an abundancy that God wants to bring to your life, and all God wants you to do is trust him. Yeah, open your mouth and trust him. God will bless you with a loan. God will give you a plan how to come up with the money. All you got to do is trust God that God is able and God will. All you have to do is put your confidence in the power of God. God wants to do it, child of God. All he wants you to do is provide him with the faith. He that will come, and he will not tarry, child of God. Oh, gracious Father, we come right now. I just feel God wanted me to pray with somebody, and I touch and agree, Lord, with the radio land on today, that, Lord, that you will grant unto them that thing that they're desiring for you. Lord, they have been faced with no's and been faced with doors slammed in their faces, oh God, and people rejected them because of their credit report. But God, your economy is not man's economy, Lord. Your system is not the FICA system, system, Lord, in Equifax, Lord, but your system is a heavenly kingdom, oh God. And Father, right now we pull it out of heaven, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and we call it down in the name of Jesus, dear God. And oh God, even this universe to release and give up that what belongs unto your children, dear God, on today. We call on your name, dear God, and seek your face. We recognize, oh God, Lord, that you can do all things but fail. And Lord, I come today and touch and agree with your people all throughout the world, those that need a building to, Lord, do ministry in. Lord, I touch and agree that a building will come forth, Lord. I speak it out of the heavenly realm and speak it into the earthly realm by the authority that is invested in me on the day. Oh God, Lord, today I speak today to the four corners of this earth, Lord, and command it to give up the things that God have need of for his people to bring forth and build the kingdom of God, that there may be a refuge, that there may be a place for God's people to come and worship and praise your name. We bind every attack. We come against every lie. We come against every conspiracy against the man and women of God, the workers, the missionaries, the evangelists, oh God, the teachers, oh God, the apostles and prophets, the pastors, dear God, we come and lift them up today in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord. We declare your will, we declare your way, oh God, to be done and accomplished. Dear God, you see that one that needs healing, Lord. Heal their faith, oh God, to trust and believe you like they used to believe you in the name of Jesus. We take the name of Jesus and invoke, oh God, your power, your anointing, your delivering power in the name of Jesus. You are the captain of our host, oh God, the captain of our salvation, oh God, and we worship your name. We bind the hand of the devil. We bind the hand of the adversary on the day in the name of Jesus, and loose your will. Say to loose your whore in the name of Jesus. Loose here and let go. Let go of God's property. Let go of that money. Let go of that health. Let go of that child. Let go of that son. Let go of that marriage in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The Lord God adjure you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. We come against the emissaries of the adversary in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, have your way, O God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, raise up that business, dear God. Give that contract, oh God. Oh God, give favor, dear God, in the name of Jesus, dear Lord. Give a scholarship, oh God, for that child believing you to come through, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Give that money for the mortgage, that money for the house, oh God, the money for the car, Lord, in the name of Jesus, dear God, for that project, oh God, in the name of Jesus, for that producer, dear God, Rikaba, we call it out of the spirit realm, out of the heavenly realm, down here to be manifested in the earthly realm, in the name of Jesus, dear God, we call on your name, we seek your holy face, oh God, we call on your name. Money come forth. Loan come forth in the name of Jesus. House come forth in the name of Jesus. Children and husband and wife relationship come back together in holy matrimony in the name of Jesus. Jesus, husband and wife, children, mothers and daughters, sons and father, walking together in the beauty of holiness, ministry being redeemed and being resurrected in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, our Lord Jesus, we know that you're able, Lord, and we worship your name. We worship your name. We worship your name, oh God, in this place, oh Lord, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Lord, for being right now, God. We praise you now, Lord, for being a way out of no way, Lord. We praise you, Lord, for every gainsayer, and soothsayers will be put to mouth, will be put to stop, Lord. Oh God, in your name, for thy glory and for thine honor, raise up, oh God, in your people. Stand up in Zion, Lord. Oh God, show yourself strong among your people. Bring the glory cloud back into the churches. Bring a revival, Lord, among the land, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Stretch forth your hand, Lord. Stretch forth your hand. Beat down the adversary. Put a cloud between the enemy and your people, Lord. Hide your children, oh God, in your pavilion. Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent, how excellent, how excellent. Excellent is your name, Jesus. Jesus, my Jesus. Jesus, my Jesus. Jesus, my Jesus. You're doing it, Lord. We praise you for doing it. We praise you for your glory. We praise you for your honor. We praise you for your name, saying, we praise you for every door. We praise you for making a way out of no way. We thank you for slaying the enemy, the rising and our enemies being scattered. We thank you for the building. We thank you for the money. We thank you for the healing. We thank you for the producer. We thank you, oh God, for the miraculous move in our churches, healing and signs and wondering, the fivefold ministry, standing up in the ministry, in the homes, in the churches, in the name of Jesus, men standing up, being men, standing in the promises and the word of God, standing devoted unto God, holy and righteous and sanctifying their heart and mind unto God, and renouncing every foul thing that's not like God. Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name. Rika baba bo shekera nam, rika baba koriasham. Glory, 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 Lord. We praise your name and we glorify him. That's it, child of God. Lift God to the glory of the Father, which is in heaven. You are the Alpha. You are the Omega. You the beginning and the end. By you all things consist. By you all things was established. By you all things are alive and well. By you, O God, all things was made for you and through you and by you. You the beginning and the end, the first and the last. You are the way, the truth, and the life. You are the door. You are the way out of no way. And we praise your blessed name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Come on and worship God. That's it, gone and entered into the Holy of Holies. Enter in, child of God. Enter into the Holy of Holies. Enter in unto the Holies of Holies. Satan, we cast you down. We cast confusion. Get out of here. Death, get out of here. Lackadaisical, get out of here. Atrophy, get out of here. In the name of Jesus, whom the Son set free, is free indeed. Can you shout hallelujah? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's it. Just pray in your heavenly language. That's it. Just go on. Make that connection with God. And pray in your heavenly language. Lord, fill them across the land with the Holy Ghost, oh God. Speaking in tongues as the Spirit of the Lord give utterance. And we thank you, dear God. God is able, child of God. Truly, God is able, child of God, to do exceedingly in your life. He wants the abundancy. He wants his glory to rest upon you, that you can show his splendor throughout the world of what God is able to do. Truly, you are the workmanship of God, and God wants you to know today, yes, you, who I'm talking to right now, face to face, heart to heart, ear to ear, God wants to bless you. God will bless you as you trust him as never before. Truly, I pray that this has been a blessing. And while you is enjoying the presence of the Lord our God, as we get ready to close this session, but never again from the presence from the Lord, I come to encourage your heart, mind, and soul that God will do it. He's going to get the glory out of it. Even with Lazarus, it was that God could be glorified. And so it is. Jesus, he waited 2 days before he even came to see about Lazarus. He waited. And so it may seem as though that God have not come through yet for you. I come to tell you, God is going to do it. Even though it may seem though he haven't made it yet or came through yet, hold fast and watch God bring it to pass. He that will come shall come and will not tarry, child of God. Trust God as never before. God is going to do it, my friend, and things. And I want to hear the testimony. You email me at Helen Orme, O-R-M-E. It spells H-E-L-E-N-O-R-M-E at MSN.com. Send me your testimony of what God has done in and through your life. Remember, Pastor Orme said, if you don't have it, God got it, and you are one prayer or one question away from your miracle. Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and you, the door, shall be opened. Remember, if you don't have it, God got it. And you, one question away. Don't you dare give up. And don't you dare throw in the towel. Before you give up, go back down on your knees and ask God again and watch him do it. May God richly bless you, is my prayer, and keep you throughout the rest of this day, that your blessings of the Lord is making you rich, child of God, and it shall not and it will not add no sorrow. Go back and look at that house. Go back and look at a car. Go back to that loan and look again. Go back and talk to your children. and things. Go back. You repent. Maybe you need to ask them to forgive you and things. And whatever it needs to do, make sure you're doing it up under the auspices of the Holy Ghost and the Lord Jesus Christ. And God will bring forth the manifestation because you trust him. We serve a supernatural God that's doing supernatural things through ordinary people like you and myself. Get up and let God use you all over again. Wipe your tears. Allow that balm for Gilead to soothe your wounds and get back in the field. The Bible said, Paul told Timothy to endure hardness like a good soldier. Get up and do it again. God is going to bless you. It's my prayer. God bless you. Bye-bye.